You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me tonight is my very good friend, Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what is up?
What's going on, Schreck? Happy to be here.
Dude, it's the best time of the year. It is fantasy draft season, and as we've already seen, which we'll get into in a minute, things have already gone south for some fantasy football owners.
Yeah, mainly you, so far. Mm-hmm. Big downer on the Andrew Luck news. Happy for the guy. Sad that I won't be able to watch him play football, but good for that dude. Get healthy, get right, be safe.
Man. He did what he thought was best for him, so I give him a lot of credit for taking the leap. But obviously, personally victimized by Andrew Luck, that one hurts a little bit.
it sucks. And then I guess we could talk about in a little bit, like, what it's going to do to the other Colts ADPs and where you should take them, or if you already have, what the hell to do with them, like T.Y., Mac.
Yep. We'll jump into those because there's been some very quick skews in their ADPs and datas from what I've seen just in the past 48 hours with Andrew Luck officially retiring and all that kind of stuff. But guys, before we jump into it again, just make sure you're mock drafting. If you haven't drafted already, start sending in your questions, get them in advance. We get slammed with stuff and there's only so many questions we can get out to you guys. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're feeling you want to send a message, you can send it on over and we'll do our best. No promises, but we'll try and get you an answer because it's the best time of the year. We're flying out to San Francisco in just a couple of short days for our fantasy football draft, and we know the excitement's building for all of you, just like it is for us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's gonna be fantastic. But Vinny, let's jump into it and let's shoot the shit, talk some news, talk about all the kind of stuff we're seeing going on, obviously, around the league. Lamar Miller goes down with his torn ACL, obviously, shakes things up a little bit in Houston from what people expected. Not that he was a top back coming off the board, but plenty of people drafted him and are now down a running back.
Yeah, and they really didn't really – they're lucky they have Duke Johnson, to be honest. He's their main fucking dude, and they really had no backup plan. Alfred Blue leaves, which is, you know, sad to say that they're going to miss Alfred Blue because that's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's pathetic. But
I really don't like Alfred Blue, but he was someone they really like to use a lot for whatever reason, and he was their main backup for a while, and he's gone. So Duke Johnson, who just got to the team a couple of weeks ago, is going to be – presumably their lead back. They really have no one else.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Vinny, we show him going from Saturday. He was a fifth pick in the eighth round in 12 team PPR leagues. He's now going as the 11th pick in the sixth round. And that's as of today, August 26th. So he's up about a round and a half, about call it 16 or 18 picks in the matter of 48 hours. So people are obviously, seeing him as the answer, and they're moving him up their boards pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's necessarily going to perform at like a super high level, but he's going pretty much in the Lamar Miller range where it's like everyone was very reluctant to take Lamar Miller, even in like a good setup. He's the lead guy, no questions asked, and everyone's just kind of sketched out by, you know, their offensive line and their play calling. So obviously it's a great value. So if you can still manage to, you know, hopefully get him at a reasonable price. I feel like this is reasonable to get him.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who's guaranteed carries. You know what I mean? Like we're rolling the dice on some of these other people that we don't even know. And you're talking about a guaranteed leader carrying the ball for them. That's huge.
Yeah. And like the thing is like Duke Johnson's going to catch passes. Maybe, you know, you're not a huge fan or you don't think that Watson is going to check down a lot, but Duke Johnson, that's like his specialty. Mm-hmm. And if the coaches don't use him like that, that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well, that's
so
that's
I think, okay. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like you got to build sort of like your expectation for Duke Johnson. Like you said, he's guaranteed carries. He's also pretty much guaranteed some passing work too. They would just be downright stupid to not do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently going 10 picks behind Austin Ekeler. He's 5 picks, give or take, behind Tariq Cohen. He's interchangeable with Latavius Murray and Darius Juice, as we like to call him here, going 3 picks later. You know, so within a round of each other, you've got quite a few different backs in different situations there that hold their own separate values. So I think he's priced about right.
Yeah, and I would say all those guys going in that section are there simply because that's how people's teams are being built. And like, I feel like you take whatever guy there is going to help your team at that point in the draft. Yeah. Like you pick and choose, like the upside or guaranteed work, like we're saying.
Yeah, man, I think it's, you know, a lot of people, you know, we talk about it time and time again, how you have to let the draft come to you. You go in with an idea, but you can't overcommit to a strategy going in because you just don't know how it's going to play. Right. And I mean, I look at my draft, one of my drafts this past weekend. I was in the 11th spot at a 12 half point PPR. And I went Devontae Adams to start. Super pumped.
He fell
to me at 11. I got Tyreek Hill on the backswing in the second round. And then in round three, Keenan Allen was sitting on the board. And it's a three wide receiver league. So I couldn't say no. I couldn't let him slide any further. So I took him. But then became my running back situation, right?
Right. Three, I'm sure it's not great.
Three wide receivers deep is, you know, back to back to back, put me in a spot, you know, and round four, I went David Montgomery as my number one running back. My number two running back is Austin Eckler. Yikes. As long as Melvin Gordon doesn't show up, I'm okay.
Right.
But that's, you know, that we know nothing. Week one, he could fucking show up and I'm either rolling James White, LeSean McCoy, Royce Freeman, and I got Darwin Thompson all the way down. So
that's not an awful, awful like RB core, to be honest.
A lot of lottery picks. A lot of lottery picks. I need some things to work. But, you know, again, that I think like plays to what you just talked about, how the running backs are going where they're going, because if you're taking a tight end early or you're stacking your wide receivers, you're gonna see people are still in the mentality of running backs rule, and they do. But they start coming off the board so quickly that you get into like panic mode, like I did there. And I'm like, I watched Josh Jacobs come off the board and I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, I don't know who I'm going to have. Is Austin Eckler going to be my number one running back? You know, and obviously
pretty close. Came close to it.
Very close. But that's how quickly these guys start coming off the board. And all of a sudden, all the ADP and research you did is like, well, I need a back. It doesn't really matter anymore what the ADP says. So you start looking kind of at the board and this is where these values come into play.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
But so obviously, sorry to hear it for Lamar Miller, but Duke Johnson, Fantasy Arrow, obviously pointing up, I'm trying to see what else we got, going on. Obviously Andrew Luck retiring, but we'll save him for a minute. What else went on this weekend, Vin? Anything big you're seeing in ADPs or anything else here?
I've got like a few questions. Like I just had one of my first live drafts. It was with Rodgers and Walsh in the Brick League. And it was, you know, a lot of fun. I just like the one thing I'm really getting out of the draft is people just keep taking Zeke top five and seemingly they're just ignoring the whole situation. Like we didn't learn anything with Bell last year, like at all. Like he should drop down to Melvin Gordon level. And even Melvin Gordon, like in a lot of situations, that dude's off my board as well.
It's so interesting to me because I look at them and you know, Melvin Gordon is now down the third pick in the fourth round here. You know, and he's just steadily declined day after day, pick one pick. And it seems like he's bottomed out a little bit here. 4.3, 4.4 seems to be his floor at the moment.
And honestly, I feel like that ADP is a lot of people leaving the draft and getting auto picked by computers, because in a lot of live drafts, it goes much later, like 6th, hopefully 8th round. But even then, what the hell is that value? What if he sits out 10 games? He's worse than Kareem Hunt.
It's
a nonsensical pick, dude. Yeah, exactly. And then I could see Zeke doing the same thing. We know less about Zeke than we do about Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon at least seems to be intent on playing at some point, like 8 games in, 10 games in.
And it's weird because you're right. We do know more on Melvin Gordon, but I feel, and I don't have, there's no stats. It's just, you know, it's the as Don refers to it as the gut.
The gut check.
I feel so much more confident in Zeke showing up than I do Melvin Gordon. And I don't know why. You know, I think part of it is me buying into this. You know, they made him an offer to be the second highest paid. I mean, one, who wants to be the fucking second highest paid guy, right? Everyone wants to be number one.
I would.
Well, yes, you and I would love to, Vinny, but
why not?
You know, he wants to be number one. He wants to be recognized as the best and paid as the best. But I think if they're making that offer, that within the first few games, I think they come to terms and I think he's there if they don't find that common ground pretty quickly. I don't know that the Chargers ever get there at Melvin Gordon. For, you know, and maybe behind the scenes, there's obviously things going on we don't know. But I do believe Zeke shows up. I don't know why. It's just in my soul.
Obviously, how the first few games play out for like the Chargers and, you know, the Cowboys really will, you know,
no question.
Let you, yeah. If they're both going 3-0, obviously, they're going to have less inclination to sign. Sure. So it's going to shake things up a lot. But like, again, you have the fourth pick. You're comfortable taking Zeke? Like, I am like, not at all.
No, I won't take Zeke at four. I mean, I think I honestly would probably bite on Zeke on the swing. Like, if I went the back end of the first round and he was my second round pick, I think I'd roll the dice on Zeke.
See, that's the thing. I haven't seen him even leave mocks that late. Like, he's still going.
I agree. He's on my board. He's just way outpriced because I'll never see him there. But that's where I'm comfortable. Even if I was at the tail end of the first round and I was really like, I don't know, maybe I'm at 11. And I don't think he'll sneak back on 12. I'll take him at 11 because I do believe he shows up. But I haven't seen him get anywhere that far. You know, I mean, you look at his ADP and he's sitting at four. I can't really imagine there's a ton of drafts where he's going much later. You know,
It's just so crazy.
111 is the low here, according to Fantasy Football Calculator. And that's out of the last 643 times he was drafted. So literally no one has let him outside the first round.
All right. It's just, man, like, we just saw this last year with Bell and you're just kind of doing the same thing. I don't know. I just can't see Zeke giving in to just like signing something. And I don't know, the way he's acted the whole offseason tells me he's in for the long haul, whatever that may be.
Yes, of course. And dude, it's weird because Melvin Gordon, I think, is off my board in the sense that I'll never even get a chance to draft him. You know, just again, because I'm not comfortable that he ever does show up. So it's weird because they're both in similar situations. I just have such opposite outlooks, I think, on the two of them. But that's that's why they pay us the big bucks. So. Vinny, another guy I want to talk about, and this is hits home for you. I know, you know, AJ Green, you know, we hear today, coming out from The Athletic that AJ Green returning for week three is the best case scenario. You know, where he's going right now, do you think that fits, you know, talking about essentially a week four return, or are we just, you know, cause I'm watching him at pick seven in the fifth round. Tyler Boyd going to pick five in the fifth round. They're essentially flip-flopped. What are your thoughts on this whole situation here?
I would be terrified to draft AJ Green because he's been known to, you know, kind of, you know, work through his rehab pretty quickly and then come back. And then it's the same injury again, and he's out for the rest of the season. He's done it like the last couple times he's been injured. So I would be terrified. And in the league I had with Matt Rodgers, our dear friend Donnie also drafted AJ Green, was, you know, not ready to do so, but he thought it was too good of a value. And then we wake up the next day. He's like, dude, I'm fucking terrified. And I'm like, you probably should be, man. I would be scared too. Yep. That's why I kind of stayed away. And he went later than the fifth round. And if you're looking at 12 team, he was probably going in, like, I think it was somewhere in the middle of the sixth or late seventh. And even then, like, you look at it, just like, I can't let him. Like, getting AJ Green that late is great, but best case scenario, like, third week, you're still, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't come back to like week six, possibly halfway through the season. I think the Bengals have an early bye. Don't quote me on that, but that could put a lot of things into play. Actually, they have bye week nine. So, dude, even like, why would they rush him back if his thing doesn't go well and it's week six? Like, they might just wait until week 10, depending on, the Bengals probably aren't going to be in any playoff.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Just to see what they do with him is a little rough. And if he's rushing back, you know, to be back for week four and active, I mean, you're obviously playing him, but I did that last year and I played him. He got like 1 point, blew up his foot again and left. So I am downright terrified to draft him. In many ways, he's off my board too, in the Melvin Gordon sense. Like, he can get as low as he wants. I still don't even know if I'd
play. Like you said, it's just scary. You know, like, Donnie woke up and was like, oh, like, what have I done? Almost like that immediate, like, holy shit, regret.
I think he was really excited to do it and he did it. And then I audibly just went like, oh, well, shit. And he was just like, okay, resident Bengal fan great. Doing that and is not like, a good sign.
You know, I did another draft on Friday night and, you know, it's with one of the guys I work with and then his longtime league, you know, and they had someone leave last year and they invited me in and they've been very gracious in it, but it's one of those where, you know, you go up and you put a pick on the board and you feel so confident and then everyone else in the room is just like, and you're like, shit, like, you know, it immediately makes you kind of just like, you're like, oh, what did I just do? You know, you felt so good. And then all of a sudden you're like, maybe that was a mistake. Maybe I'm getting too smart for myself here. Not a good feeling.
Yep.
Not a good feeling.
No,
but the live draft feeling is something we recommend to everybody out there. Something you guys should all be doing at least once or twice.
Yeah, things feel more consequential and real when there's people around, not just clicking a button.
Yeah,
and you don't get like, you know, the feel of the room.
To actually, you're putting the stickers up, you're talking through things. You know, people get pissed because you take too long on your picks or whatever. But it's the whole experience, and it kind of drives your nerves up a little bit because you. I feel like I don't sweat if I'm taking an online draft. I'm not sweating about like, oh, my guy is five picks away on the general ADP. Like, am I going to get him? Versus like, I'm sitting in a room and I'm like, I know Walsh is fucking thinking about it. I know he's going to fucking do it. And I'm just watching him and he's fucking, you know, twirling his hair around and pick it like, and then he goes up and he puts a sticker on the board and sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. But that anxiety doesn't exist in the online world because it can't. And I think there's nothing like it, especially when a plan comes together, a guy slides to you or things just work out, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's great when it clicks and it's, you know, your heart races when it doesn't. Oh, you got to panic and do different things.
Oh, yeah.
It's
there's fun. Nothing it's like to panic when your guy goes and you're like, I am so like that. Like I did with when Josh Jacobs went and I'm like, holy shit. My running backs are literally going to be – I might as well just not even start a running back this year. Kenyon Drake, number one, step on up. Yeah, I know. I thankfully not the case. But you never know. I guess, Vinny, you want to talk about the elephant in the room and the Colts and Andrew Luck here? Andrew Luck, as you all know, has retired, you know, to focus on himself and his family and everything else. And we wish him well. We talked about it before the podcast. We expect a possible Andrew Luck return at some point in the future. Not this season, but down the road, it wouldn't shock us to see him back on the football field. Right, Ben?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe he gets right, gets healthy, takes a year off, possibly comes back. It's the way he sounded. Like, he definitely didn't want to, but he had to just for himself. So that's where I really felt bad. And I was just like, oh, geez, this is like something serious. And if he doesn't come back, I also would be, you know, not shocked, but it'd be great to see him back.
And the door does definitely remain open a little bit for him. You know, so Vinny, it almost feels like we have to preview the Indianapolis Colts all over, right? Because here we are. And let's start at the top, as we always do. Jacoby Brissett comes back, not exactly something to be super excited about back in 2017 when he filled in for Andrew Luck. 13 touchdown passes and 15 starts, 3,000 passing yards. He also led the NFL in time sacked. So that was pretty much what you got from Brissett. But I think he's going to be just fine. He's not Andrew Luck, but he'll be okay leading these Indianapolis Colts. But it's a hit. It's a downgrade. There's no question.
Yeah, I mean – obviously, Brissett isn't fucking Andrew Luck, but also the upcoming 2019 Correct. Colts are not the 2017 Colts where they just emergency added, you know, Brissett and, you know, threw him into a horrible situation. They still had that awful offensive line. It's much better now. The system is way different with Frank Reich. Like, it is just hands down a way better situation. I still have a lot of faith that TY will probably be fine. I think Max still has his regular value where it's still coasting at. It's just, they're just taking that hit because Andrew Luck is gone. So, I mean, they should because their upsides are definitely limited now, but now they just become values. And I think they're still all, you know, studs.
Yeah,
in their
I mean,
own
you look at, you know, let's start at the wide receiver. I mean, you know, TY Hilton, obviously, deep threat, the speed, you know, I think he stays a wide receiver too. Maybe he slides down to the lower end of wide receiver too. But I don't think he falls out of that conversation. But, you know, he is dropping like essentially off a fantasy cliff in ADP, Vinny. He went from Sunday, he was the sixth pick in the third round. He is down to the 11th pick in the fourth round. So that's almost 16 to 18 picks in a matter of 48 hours.
Like, it's very reactionary. Like, would you, if you're sitting in that fourth round or fifth round, depending on like how big your league is, like, are you really going to take Kenny Golladay over T.Y. Hilton?
Yep.
Probably not. Like, I'd rather have T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, that
100%. Upside is just, the target share is probably still going to be there. They can build a rapport. So, you know, I just, you know, I feel like at some point enough is enough and just like realize like, we're taking the hit that Andrew Luck is gone and everyone's reacting to it in this way. So everyone's dropping off a cliff. I feel like it might settle out by the weekend if you have your draft this weekend. I still think just keep your head focused and realize that these guys are still good and they still have a good offense, a decent team. And they're going to do good things for
your
fantasy.
He's going to be just fine. Like you said, the volume's there. He's, especially if you're playing in a half point, full point PPR, whatever, the target's going to be there. Don't go into panic mode. I see people tweeting out like, well, what should I be trying to trade T.Y. Hilton for? Or, you know, like he's going to be just fine. Like, sure, if you drafted him on Friday, he's worth less, understandably. But I don't think you need to go out in panic mode. And, you know, I mean, look, if you drafted him as your number one wide receiver anyway, you were in trouble to begin with. So, you know, no.
Right. And don't take low ball offers either. Like at this time, like this is going to be the lowest his value is. He's going to have a couple good games and you're sitting there just like, all right, this is fine. You don't even need to worry about
it. Yeah. I think just you ride the wave. I mean, hey, if you're a buy low, sell high kind of guy and you know someone who's panicked and want to make an offer for T.Y., fucking low ball some people and see what you can get. I mean, some leagues, there are plenty of people who will panic and just fucking do it. But don't sell. There's no reason to, you know, the other pass catchers, Vinny, Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle, you know, at tight end, that I don't think I really cared about them totally to begin with. So I was kind of out.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Jack Doyle did have a good year with Brissett. Although, you know, Ebron is now there, so it's a little different. And they both have different upsides. Like, I feel like Jack Doyle's more of a PPR kind of dude, and then obviously Ebron with the touchdown. So they're definitely lower for me. I think they take the biggest hit for me because the offense won't be as prolific and less touchdowns. So I'm going to take both these guys down.
Yeah. You have to. And again, guys, at this point in the fucking tight end wheel, we've talked about it. Go spin the wheel. Like you don't need to go out and draft Eric Ebron. Actually, I would be interested to see how far he has also fallen. He really hasn't dropped. He's dropped four picks. He's gone from the 12th pick in the seventh round, which was still crazy, to the fourth pick in the eighth round. Again, we're always negative on tight ends anyway, but he hasn't really seen a ton of decline in his ADP at this point. So that is what it is. But yeah, whatever. As far as the rest of the team goes, Vinny, running game, Marlon Mack, I mean, maybe he runs a little bit more. I think his value stays pretty flat here on this team.
Yeah, I tried to, you know, kind of rack my brain a little bit about it, and it's just I can't really change anything. Like if they're playing well, Mack's definitely going to be more involved. If they're not, maybe Hines sees a couple more snaps, but I still think Mack is their main guy. They're going to feed him and probably still be a big feature part of the offense. And if this happened in your draft, like if your draft that you had this weekend was this coming weekend, Shrek, you probably could have gotten Marlon Mack instead of fucking who'd you get, Singletary? Yeah, like you could have possibly had Marlon Mack.
I want David Montgomery.
David Montgomery?
Let's see. I'm trying to see. No, you're okay. You're okay.
Sorry.
I mean, it's all – they're all fucking –
I mixed those two up. I don't know why.
I'm trying to think. Where did Marlon Mack go? Marlon Mack was – 1, 2, 3. He was a third-round pick. So I ended up – it ended up Marlon Mack, and then it was Leonard Fournette, Kittle, Chris Carson, and I got Keenan Allen. So – you know, he probably would have dropped. I mean, ADP, we're seeing him. He goes from the second pick in the fourth round down to the 10th pick in the fourth round, which I think is just a value for the guys sitting at the end of the fourth round. You know, I think he's fine there. I think his price is right, particularly if you stack your wide receivers. And at that point, he could end up as your running back 2-1, depending on how you go. Yeah.
At a great value. So I'm really just viewing the Colts right now as just like really sneaky good. So if people are letting them slide in any drafts that are coming up for you this week and the weekend.
Yeah, like we've talked about, it becomes that recency bias, right? Where everyone's in full panic mode, and it's not necessary. I get it. We were all shocked. We all couldn't believe it. But at the end of the day, that for the most part, T.Y. Hilton, Marlon Mack, stay. Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle, you just let them kind of float off into the distance. And that's really it. You're not drafting Jacoby Brissett as a fantasy QB, but he'll be fine for the offense.
Yeah, definitely. Very serviceable.
100%. So that's kind of it, guys. A quick Colts fantasy preview here as we talk draft day. But what else you got, Vinny, on news or guys you're seeing on boards that just, quite frankly, don't make sense to you?
So I've just seen a lot of it was expected, but like a lot of volatility with the early running backs. Like round one and round two are just like I've never seen them the same in any draft so far. I've seen Le'Veon Bell go four. I've seen Le'Veon Bell go in the second round. I've seen Todd Gurley go pick five, pick four. I've seen Todd Gurley in the third round. Like I'm having such a hard time, and that's why we always talk about like the flow of the draft. Like you got to roll with 100%. Shit. If that's happening. You got to roll with it because if you're not prepared, every draft is different and you can prepare for we're about to do our 10th league anniversary thing. And like, we all know each other very well. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen at all in this draft. It is by far the craziest, I think, to this day. Anyone can go in any ADP, especially with the holdouts and stuff. And just, I think I've seen the most volatility with the running backs and the order that they go, because you need an early pass catching running back, but also the value of getting like Hopkins or Adams or Julio early.
It's,
you can't even pass it up. So every first round and second round really shapes the draft. And every time I've done it,
I'm with you, man. I mean, that's how this draft on Saturday went. I mean, number one overall went Alvin Kamara, Saquon went two, Zeke went three, McCaffrey fell to four, which is to me a fucking steal and a half.
Who got that?
Who, Chris?
Who got McCaffrey at four?
I don't know whose team this is. Big Tasty, whoever that was.
Lucky them, dude. That's great crazy. Value.
Le'Veon Bell goes five. Todd Gurley goes six.
Yeah, see DeAndre what I
Hopkins
mean?
Hopkins at seven. James Conner at eight. Michael Thomas at nine. David Johnson at 10. You know, he's also a guy, David Johnson, that I've seen all over the fucking map. I see him.
It has a lot to do with Zeke, too.
He's been up. He's been down. I can't put a pulse on David Johnson. And it's really just knowing your league and knowing who's on the Cardinals. If you listen to the last podcast, Walsh talks about where he doesn't really know where he stands on the Cardinals at this point.
I feel like no one can know right now because they didn't perform well in the preseason. And I know we put like, you know, you try not to care about the preseason, but it's better to perform well than, you know, not at all. And we really haven't seen much of the Cardinals, and I don't buy the bullshit that they're hiding their offense or like protecting their game plan. Like, shut the fuck up. There's no possible way you're doing that.
No, you're not as bad as you're playing right now. There's absolutely no way.
No, no, no. But yeah, they are just, the running backs, man, are all over the place. And that truly affects where a lot of those high, like you got Devontae 11. Adams, what, like pick 11?
So that's fucking absurd. Pumped. So pumped.
Yeah. Like someone definitely settled on like David Johnson or Bell, even though they may not have wanted to. And then, you know, it just kind of creates the avalanche.
Have you done, you know, any mocks or, you know, obviously we have draft coming up. So, you know, you're obviously not going to relay some stuff, but as we look at some mocks and everything else, have you looked at the Travis Kelce tight end going tight end of round two? You know, and how your team kind of plays out, or have you not really touched that route this year?
Oh, dude, I've done it more than I have in my entire life. Like I hate early tight end, and I've been fucking with the Kelce builds. If we, you know, we're making like a Skyrim character here, I'm seeing like, it's rough when you go first round, really running back, wide receiver. Yep. If you take either one, which you're definitely going to, you get tight end. You know, Kelce comes back to you in the second round. Hopefully, it's tough to settle on the next position, and also that position could be totally sapped, as we've seen with a lot of our strategies. Like these ADPs don't mean jack shit when you're in a draft. guys go, guys don't. Like, you can't control shit. So, like, mocks are good just to see what you're comfortable with taking, not so much for predicting. So keep that in mind. And I don't know. A lot of I've seen that every time I have a Kelce team, it's my starters are ridiculous, and then my bench is dog shit. And then I'm always someone that likes to have a deeper bench than necessary because, you know, it's a long season. I like some flyers in there. I like some guys like, that are just my guys that I want. And it's I feel like with the Kelce team, I have less like wiggle room for that. So if he falls to you, it's great, but just be prepared to, you know, sacrifice in a lot of different spots that, you know, maybe you're not necessarily prepared to. So make sure that's what you want. Obviously Kelce is like basically having a wide receiver one, but you know, you're giving up top 10 running backs, top 10 wide receivers when you take
which Kelce. Drops off quickly, as we've talked about, you know, with some of these guys that, the world of fantasy running backs and wide receivers gets ugly very, very fast. You know, I really think I want to wrap up the podcast tonight, Vinny, with just, you know, who is one guy that you're targeting towards the end of drafts here? And obviously we're both in a draft together, but, you know, a guy, a sleeper, and it doesn't have to be somebody that's off the map because there's plenty of articles out there with a lot of these same name guys. You know, is there anybody that you recommend or someone that you're looking to get? You know, Walsh said on the last podcast, Tony Pollard is someone that I'm watching him. He's also actually someone that, now that I say the name, I'm watching all over fucking drafts.
I'm a little scared of him because he could go. He's going the seventh.
He went in, I think, the seventh in one of my drafts, and it's the hype's real. You know, again, if Zeke doesn't show behind that line, you're fucking pumped. So it's risk reward. It's like the Austin Eckler world, except Austin Eckler should hold some value either way. The Tony Pollard thing has gotten a little crazy.
Yeah, that's what sucks with Pollard. It doesn't really hold, like you said, it doesn't hold as well as Eckler would, because Eckler has standalone value. I feel like Pollard does not, because we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen their offense. And if Zeke is in there, that dude's getting 20 plus touches, like, fuck off to everyone else there.
100%.
An ex-Cowboy I'm actually targeting is actually Cole Beasley. I thought I could have taken him in our recent draft. I thought more people would be taking flyers and stuff, and I didn't really have to, but I can pick him up on the waiver now. I just like the new Bills offense and what we've seen. Like, Cole Beasley was a ton of catches, ton of opportunities. So if he's your last pick or like your last position player pick, like, you could do a lot worse. Like, I took Willie Snead in one instead of Cole Beasley, just to sort of get like somebody who's got the opportunity, target volume, potential. So it's not, you know, it's not going to be like a, you know, I don't really see like Willie Snead or Cole Beasley getting 25 points, but like, if I need him on a bye week early, that dude can be a 12 spot or, you know,
they could turn.
Yeah. So,
that's it. You're happy with a 12 spot if you got to flip.
Yeah, exactly. He's been one of my weirder ones that I've kind of liked to check out. What about you?
Okay. I mean, for me, the guy that I have on all of my teams so far this year, and he's not super cheap, but I mean, he's the seventh pick in the 11th round right now.
He's getting
Anthony Miller, the wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. That's the thing here. I mean, he's returned to practice, which is super nice. He missed 2 weeks with the ankle sprain. You know, we'll see if he's ready to go week one. They're easing him back, but scored 7 touchdowns on limited targets last year. I think he's a nice stash and wait and see what can happen. But I think for the price, the turnover for him or the return on your investment could be huge if it goes the way I think.
Definitely. I think Walsh got a lot of playable weeks out of him last year too. So, was that Joe? That might've been Joe. Either way, still serviceable.
Either way.
A lot of injury help and bye week help, which we forget. It's a long fucking season. So put a little bit of work into the end of your draft thinking about those things instead of upside, or maybe not upside, more like, where can this guy help me with a plug and play instead?
Yeah, because you have to think about, like you talked about with, you know, the guys where your bench depth is crap if you're only your tight end, and all those things matter. you know, the long term, the thinking about the guys you might be able to plug in or the guys that are going to pop for you. You know, those things, they make a difference. So you gotta think about those guys. And when you mock, try and get through drafts. Don't do this through round five crap and then bail out of mock drafts. I know people like to do it,
but annoying.
You don't get, you know, it's annoying. One and two, you don't get a feel. You see all these other guys in ADPs, but until you're watching them come off the board, even if they, a lot of them are computer picks, you know, again, it's being in that moment, looking at your team as it's constructed, as you come down, you know, you don't want to be doing that for the first time on draft day. So try and play your drafts through and at least do one or two all the way through. If you're going to bail on some others, that's fine. But get comfortable. If you haven't had your draft already, it's got to be soon. And as we always say, hell get yeah. mocking.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that's about it. Vinny. I mean, we're going to try and bounce back tomorrow with Walsh for the Wednesday episode as we try and take draft week into full swing. Maybe we'll throw a live episode together on Thursday for the people, on a Friday release. And, you know, it's now or never, guys. It's put up or shut up. It is the best time of the year. It is fantasy draft week. So I hope you guys are prepped and ready to rock and roll.
I am so fucking pumped. Like, I cannot wait.
Dude, can't beat it, man. We'll be in San Fran drafting, fucking having the time of our lives. And we hope you guys are doing fun things. You don't have to be traveling to do it, guys. Get together with your friends, your leagues, whatever you got to do. Even if it's online, get a online video chat going or something. This is what memories are made of, and we're pumped. We're going into year 10, and a shout out to Chase. We're going to have a good time for you here, bud.
Let the bachelor party commence. Just a bunch of losers having
there
fun.
There it is. Bachelor party and draft weekend sounds like the ultimate combo to me. But Vinny, do you have anything else for the people?
Nah, man. Good luck. If you already have your team, send them in. We'll check them out. Give criticism. I know we had a rough one today where Walsh really liked it and I really hated the team. So everyone's opinion matters, I guess. Because, you know, you draft your team, you're inclined to like it pretty much. It takes a lot of pride. Or you got to swallow a lot of pride to say, oh, I've really fucked this draft up. Because really, you take the guys you want and then you're just like, sweet, I have my players. But without outside influence and other opinions, you might not even know that you have glaring holes or this guy's not as good as you think he is or will perform at that level. So we'll check him out, let you know our half-assed opinions and shit like that. So send him on in.
We'll give you the truth, guys. Send him in. Vinny is not afraid to upset you or tell you exactly what you need to hear, because reality sucks sometimes. And sometimes it's great. But odds are you'll get someone to come to your defense a little bit. But guys, get mocking. For Vinny, for Let's Talk Fantasy Football, I am Nick Schreck. We will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.